Human, you are entering an improvised comedy show, restricted to humans only. Improv for Humans, with Matt Besser. Based on your suggestions and other sources of inspiration, Matt and guests will perform fully improvised scenes. Welcome to Best of Improv for Humans, Volume 11. Let's talk to the audience featuring Jessica McKenna, John Gabris, James Adelmian and Horatio Sands.
How many Eagle Scouts here? Any? All right, there.
The one getting a wedgie from their three friends.
I carry
what
a knife.
What was the hardest thing, or I guess the that's subjective, I guess. What was the most difficult thing that you did to have to earn that?
The thing that took the most time and effort was playing the Eagle Scout project.
Playing the Eagle Scout?
Planning.
Planning.
An Eagle Scout project, like community project. Oh. You have to go to the city council and all that stuff.
What was your project for the community?
So I built a picnic table set thing for my church.
Okay.
Devin, I see here your Eagle Scout project that you're ready to defend your community with. And I'm opening it up here. It looks like it's got a red and white checker tablecloth involved in it.
Yeah.
It unfolds. It's plastic with some metal things that you have to unring in order to fold the legs up and down.
Yeah. It's my parents' card table with a tablecloth on it. And it's for people to sit at and eat and communicate with. Like, maybe you have, like, a Mexican dude and a white dude and two girls.
He's presenting this to the town council. Now, you realize you're this town's only nominated Eagle Scout.
You're representing
the whole community.
I realize that I'm one of the few 40-year-old men still recognized and pursuing my Eagle Scout badge. It's been this planning project has been way harder than I thought when I signed up. When I signed up junior year of high school, I was just trying to get a good thing to get into colleges, and now
we've been
patient.
We've been waiting.
I've been trying to get.
And every year we say, "How's the planning going?"
Well, you know, there's a lot of red tape that goes into projects like mine.
Yeah, excuse me, I'd like to say something here. I'm from St. Ignatius Church.
St. Ignatius Church, yes.
And we had a picnic on the table, and it immediately blew up.
Well, it's a fold-out table, right?
We all were going to have a little picnic fun. We sat on it, and it exploded.
You're not supposed to sit on a fold-out table.
We give our scouts dual goals that involve service to the community and also violent protection of the community if necessary.
Also, yes, I like to get sun on my titties. And I notice
these
drones are flying
all over.
That's
why you don't have a shirt on right now, miss.
I like to get some sun on my titties. And there's always drones up there, and now they're gone. What's going on with that?
The board honors Sister Catherine's contribution to this conversation. Yes. But I will say, I feel that we are confused about what you want to do about Devin's card table. It exploded when you sat on it when you were trying to naked sunbathe at a church picnic.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. Yes, and.
Because I didn't
support. Yes, and, girlfriend.
Sister Catherine's contribution.
Thank you.
Devin, can you just give us an example of, like, maybe 5 years ago when we checked in with you and you said planning was still going on? Like, what was the planning exactly?
Well once
for
I knew
picnic
I
picnic table.
Once I knew I wanted to do something in the table world, I spent some time making a list.
Oh, it
of
was
pop-
a table?
It was a table. Not
I thought
a
it was a picnic table.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that still means it's a table in the end.
Well, it blew up when we sat on it.
We cut to a table store. And what can I help you with, sir?
I'm
looking
nothing.
For something to put your food on?
Nope. I'm just checking out. So tables, most of them have four legs, huh?
Actually, we have some longer dining room tables that have six legs. And even we have an eight-legger in the back if you want to look at it.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, no, I can kind of picture what that might look like.
Yeah.
Why is the back room door like wobbling in its frame, kind of?
Not many people ever want to look at the eight-legger.
Well, I am a 38-year-old scout, really trying to wrap up this project, so I'll take a look at an eight-legger.
Okay, Fred. What I'm going to do is I'm going to open the door real quick, and then you'll jump in, I'll close the door, and you just knock on the door when you're done looking at the eight-legger.
Okay, and I hold this orb?
Tightly. Okay. And don't show fear.
Okay, that's perfect. I shouldn't. I'm a...
Shove, slam.
Oh, scout's honor. Hello.
Orb.
Oh, no. Oh, fuck. Oh, I don't hate this.
Oh. Hours later. Hey, you got to come out of there. We're closing up. So please don't smoke with the wooden tables.
So you have watched the new season of Chef's Table, huh?
I have. Watch it again if you want to.
Let's put it on while we continue to play with
each
other.
I'm a little bit jealous of some of the celebrity tables, but I
we
like
cut
to keep
backstage at the Emmys, all the tables waiting for their category to be announced. We see a real fancy table from Game of Thrones walk in.
douche. Greetings, fellows.
Indeed, it's just an honor to be nominated after having been hewn out of wood or whatever.
Here's my question. Did you pass, like, a spread of cheese or anything? This is a long night, and I haven't seen anything to nosh on.
Oh, that's over here. Me. Look, I'm a fellow table, but I'm not in this category. I am actually a craft services table. If you guys come on over and grab a couple of snacks.
I was just like you one time,
hey,
buddy.
Grab a snack right off. Come on. You guys, don't worry about it, guys.
No,
I got it. No, I'm working. It's fair. I'm honored to be around such famous tables. We got the table from Game of Thrones, the one that Jaime Lannister fucked his twin sister on. We got the table from season two of Smilf, I think.
And don't forget me, a folding table from the WWF, brother.
I didn't know you were a table. You're so fucked up. You look like a broken chair.
Yeah, you try getting 300-pounders just thrown on you from a high, over the ring and
we
whatnot.
We cut to this table at King Kong Bundy's funeral giving a eulogy.
That fat son of a bitch landed on me about 200 times. What you're doing at this funeral is inappropriate. You're hijacking it for political purposes, just like Paul Wellstone's funeral. I don't approve. That's not true, brother. You know that. And you know that I supported you and your brother, who passed away also. Sorry, rest in peace. You snap
both
in
you
half
guys
every time anybody puts you under stress. Well, I'm a goddamn folding table, and you're putting 500 pounds of dudes on top of me. I'm going to give once in a while.
You were insured. You shouldn't be complaining.
I never complained
it.
When we drank afterwards.
You had the highest level of American table insurance available.
And scene.
Your one word suggestion from Twitter, featuring Joel Spence and Alex Funny.
Joe Schrock says bronze. Let's start that song again where we left off, though.
Yeah.
I think it was getting to the good part. Points at me. What's happening with this slow part? It must be leading up to something, right, Grace? This whole song can't be like this.
We got like 9 minutes left.
Tuck in, everybody.
It's a fucking Black Sabbath.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, you can't raise the devil in 3 minutes and 25 seconds.
No, you got to work the spell. Yeah. Slowly.
That's the beauty of these songs. Just patience. Just fucking build up. At what point did songs... Did they know, like... So Black Sabbath knew we can't get this on the radio, right? Because there aren't 10-minute songs on the fucking radio.
I also bet they couldn't get it on because of the content, though. People are so afraid of it. So, like, why the fuck couldn't prescribe to that if you can't get on anyways?
So is that Led Zeppelin's why they're bigger? Because they could make those short songs?
Sabbath was really not very popular in the 70s. Like, if you actually look at the time, people really didn't know them that much, but their influence is so massive that now we think they're like Zeppelin level.
Yeah.
But they weren't that big at all in the 70s, like when they started.
Remember that, Grace. You're going to have to answer these questions. People will visit you. What is the strangest piece of news a family member has delivered to you over the phone? Strangest piece of news, says TJ Masters.
This is not the premise here, but my grandma once told me a story about growing up in Iowa, and it was so cold, and it was some guy that was sort of caught outside, and she goes, he froze his face. And she said it so definitively with, like, no follow-up questions. He froze his face.
Not even frostbite.
No.
Also, that puts that's really blaming the victim in that situation of, like, he froze his face.
Yes. I never forget how she put it. He froze his face.
Is there anything funnier than, and it goes back to Tom Sawyer, of putting your tongue on a metal pole in the winter? I mean, it's one of those things that, like, it does work. Have you guys done it?
Never done.
I was, as a kid, like, somehow I was so terrified of the cons. Like, somehow in the school I went to, the kids were thoroughly told that your tongue will tear off. Like, so every kid was so afraid of it.
It's not a myth. Like, you can go up to a pole and do it lightly and feel it happen.
And why? I mean, the tongue is such a sensitive.
You say that all the time, and in this context.
The tongue, once again, the tongue. Did somebody say tongue?
We're at a cocktail party, and it's outdoors in the Boston Common during the winter. There's some heat lamps, but of course there's snow on the ground too. And have you guys ever heard that myth that if you put your tongue on a pole, your tongue becomes frozen to it? You've heard that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that's a myth.
Mm-hmm. Joel, do it.
Yes.
Just do it. There's that pole right there, that light pole.
I don't understand why I would do this.
Joel, we're at a cocktail party in the middle of the Boston Common in winter. We need something to do. So just put your tongue on a pole because this party sucks.
Come on, Joel.
Please.
You always are doing something.
The next idea I'll do, but this idea, it's for you.
Sometimes I feel like I'm the first to take a fall, and then I'm sort of stuck in a situation at a party, and you guys never bail me out.
What? Come on.
I'm sorry to accuse you of that, but I feel like I've been here before. All right, here goes.
Oh, my God, it really does
See,
work.
See, I told you it wasn't a myth.
Joel, it really works. Look at you.
Yeah, I'm here.
So anyway, we're going to go to see all the colors come in with the flowers.
In 3 months?
Yeah, we're going to go see
that. That sounds so nice. Hey, let's just take, let's step that? 3 feet away, please.
Okay. Oh, look, they're going to cut the cake.
Oh, yay. I have to tell you, I don't think this wedding is going to last because this is weird.
Snowball.
This is a public.
Snowball.
Okay. Let's move away from
Yeah, let's just go on the other
He's
side.
Cranky.
Bush, yeah.
Later, they've left. The caterers are cleaning up. Wow, man, they must cost a lot to rent out Boston Commons.
Well, probably not this time of year.
Hey, buddy, we're wrapping it up. You're going to have to leave because they only have a permit till midnight, so you're going to have to get out of here.
I think it's a sound curfew thing, or I don't know.
Yeah, hot water? Hot water?
No hablo, my friend.
Hot water.
Water. Yeah, this guy's okay. All right. He can hang out.
All right, buddy.
Water.
Whatever. We'll ignore you.
Yeah.
We cut to the next morning. There's a garbage guy walking. Oh. Hey, how are?
What?
Here.
But you're not supposed to be in the park this early. They don't open till 8 a.m.
A park or closed?
Yeah, there's curfews in the park.
Why is there a curfew? Why is there a curfew? Why is there a curfew?
Hey, I don't want to argue with you, man. Hey, well, better get the fuck out of here.
Yay!
We cut to later in the park. Kids are playing around him. Look, it's a snowman. I know. Oh, it's not a snowman. No. It's a real man.
Call your parents. Call your parents.
Call my parents?
Caw, caw.
That's a heron. Caw, caw.
We cut to later in the day, and there's an event coordinator giving a tour to two prospective people who are going to rent out the Boston Common.
So over here, we could put the dance floor
down. This is a lovely area.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah, it looks like it's meant for weddings.
Yeah, and you'll want to tell people to bring a shawl because it does get below zero.
Turkey?
A hurry.
Oh, I thought that was a statue.
No, and if you don't like this, we can get rid of this for you.
Oh, yeah.
If this clashes with your colors.
All right.
I thought he was bronze. He's just covered in turd.
Yeah, he's just covered
in hungry.
Turd.
You're angry?
Yeah. And hungry.
You're hungry and angry? Okay, I don't know if we want this feature. Well, it seems really aggressive.
What we do is we'll just cut the pole down. We'll just transport the whole piece somewhere else. Probably colder.
Oh, you
colder.
Can do that?
Yeah, absolutely. No problem.
We cut to a parking lot in a mall.
Move it, buddy. I want to get in that spot. Pick up your pole and move.
Now he's on the back of a truck, just heading north into Canada.
Colder.
At the border, the inspector. All right, let me see. Okay, these are bound well. This is down tight. Whoa, 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 whoa. This isn't on the manifest. What's this? It just says one light pole. What's this thing?
Yeah, I think it's just a weird light pole. Hey, look, I'm just a truck guy. I just.
This is like a bat with balls. What is it? Light poles don't have men attached to them.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I guess that's normally true.
Well, look, hey, buddy. What's your deal here? You're not on the manifest.
You're like a bat with balls.
You're like the balls of the bat.
I need help.
All right, look, let's just help me roll him off the truck. I'll leave him here. We'll get him an elf.
You cut to the middle of Canada. There's a pole, that guy, and an elf. Hey.
So how long am I supposed to be with you?
Help me out.
I get paid by the week.
That's just bad.
Elf you out? That's what I'm trying to
help
do.
Help me out. Oh. Wow.
The elf just abandons him at one point. And he's been abandoned like a maple orchard. And we see some tourists coming through there. So you say that you just put a spigot in and real maple syrup will come out?
Yeah, that's how it works. It's like you think this there's more
amazing
to it, but you just want to like carve a little
Oh, I thought that was a tree.
Oh, I thought that was an odd tree. Maple orchard.
Please don't.
Well, we don't know that he's not a tree.
What are you?
If you're not a tree, tell us clearly right now.
I've been eaten out by an elf.
You got eaten out by an elf?
That was clear.
This is rude and not family oriented.
I didn't know. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's just walk over here a little bit. We can find a different tree.
Yeah, and years went by, and snows came and snows went. And a brick road was built, made of yellow bricks. And one day, a girl and her dog came along. Oh, Toto.
Yep.
I'm growing so tired. I wonder if we'll ever find a way home.
Oh, who are you?
Toto, I think he's in trouble. I think it's a man who has put his tongue up against a pole and it's become frozen. I have some hot tea. Here you go. Here you go. There, it's coming off. It's coming off. Hello. My name is Dorothy and this is Toto. And we're trying to find our way to the Emerald City where there's some wizard who can get us back to Kansas.
You're the first person who's ever helped me out in a long time. Can I get a hug?
What?
Yeah, just a hug.
I think I'm clear about what we needed, and I've already helped you out. Dorothy and the dog slowly start to back away. It's okay, Toto.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I just feel
you're
like
just being a little creepy.
Look, do you know my story?
No, not at all.
I put my tongue on a pole hundreds of years ago in the Boston
Colony. Well, my pretties, tongue on the pole you shall do.
Another 100 years.
What the fuck is going on? Featuring Sean Conroy, Drew Vudasing, James Mastriani, and Matt Newell.
Humans, what else do I have in my book of clippings here? Bill would okay roadkill as food. You guys hear about this?
No. For a second, I thought you were talking about a person, and then it
Bill
okay
it
to me.
Yeah. What did Bill say? Did Bill
for
say?
Years, you thought, this guy Bill's pushing a lot of laws. Seeks to amend current state law to allow drivers who fatally strike a deer, elk, antelope, wild pig to take the animal home and cook it.
Well, I don't think that's not crazy, is
no.
it?
No, it's good.
Yeah, I think that like...
But it's kind of funny that how many people would do that.
I mean, I wouldn't.
Why was it a law in the first? Why was it illegal initially? Was it to prevent people from using their car to kill animals?
That's what I feel like would happen. Is it would be a slippery slope, and people would go, "Hey, let's go run over some deer."
That's hunting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're going to ruin your car running over a deer. It's not going to be in your favor to kill a deer with your car.
Depends on the car. I mean, I have a 15-year-old Toyota Corolla. You know.
Yeah, you can't hurt those.
I'd get more, I'd get more money in meat.
Oh, I see. What's your car worth in meat?
I think it might have been a health thing.
I'm sure.
Eating roadkill is healthier for the consumer than meat laden with antibiotics, hormones, and growth stimulants.
I think fresh roadkill is. I think I feel like if it's been out there for more than a half hour, it's going to have maggots and stuff on it, or an hour.
I mean, would this bill mean that restaurants can then just serve you roadkill legally?
No. Restaurants can't serve wild game. They have to be farmed game.
Interesting.
Like if you get venison, it's like farmed venison, or buffalo is farmed. It's not wild.
Huh.
I think you have to have a special license. There's no like way to check if those animals are sick because they're not controlled.
Right.
I think that's...
Fish? True. All fish has to be farmed?
No, not fish. Yeah.
He was trying to trap you.
Yeah, he was.
One.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You. Good afternoon. Hello. Welcome to Carcass. This is the very first restaurant in the country that allows food that has not been grown in a farm or raised in any way.
We think that's very humane because these animals died not of their own choice or even humans.
Absolutely.
On accident, everything, right?
Absolutely. Everything, every one of our dishes and animals and meat died in some sort of an accident.
Okay. Is it always vehicular or just sometimes rocks fall down?
I'm so glad that you asked that. It's all accidental. We actually, today, one of our dishes, we have a braised goat that fell off of a mountain by accident.
Oh, that sounds
lovely.
How
is that prepared? How is it prepared?
It's braised, and then
We thought you said bruised.
Oh,
which wouldn't make sense.
I'm sure. Okay. I'm sure he was bruised, but also we use a lot of tender love and care afterwards as a way of taking care and honoring the animal and the accident that the animal had.
I had a friend that was here a couple of days ago and said had a delightful deer killed by a sailboat.
That's correct.
Now, how does that even happen? I would like some of that.
We were really, really lucky to get such a freak accident into our kitchen. It was very, very exciting. A person brought a deer onto their sailboat with them.
That is not what I imagined. Yeah. I assumed he was drinking water and someone was trying to land their sailboat.
No, not at all. He was on the sailboat when another sailboat T-boned the original sailboat. Everybody on board
honey, I don't know if I like this because that would be a human caused
a deer's death in a way. I feel like that deer shouldn't have been on.
That's true. This is almost a setup.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't like that the deer was on a boat. That's like a pig wearing a hat.
I understand that. Actually, though, the other sailboat was being driven by another deer who was on with another family. So it actually...
A human
still,
family?
Those are both deers that probably did not want to be there.
We're just
adding something to the specials board. We just got
excellent.
Ooh, something fresh.
We just got a moose that fell out of a helicopter.
Ooh.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I'm kind of interested in, is there a story behind that?
I feel like you guys are forcing accidents. Do you hear this?
Yes.
Why would a moose be in a helicopter?
It doesn't seem like a natural place for a moose to
seems
be.
Seems like you'd have to pick a moose up unnaturally and drop them somewhere.
I understand. Our chef, our head chef, Josh, he is constantly searching the globe for different ways that animals are dying or accidentally dying. And I'm sorry if that's not...
Sounds worrisome.
Yeah.
Can we just have an armadillo smashed by a truck, please? Just something simple.
We do have something that's been smashed by a truck, if that's sort of what...
Yes.
I just want to know that it was an accident for sure. A raccoon backed over by a garbage truck. Something simple.
Yes. That
there's a whale in a dumpster I saw out back. Is that part of your...
No, that has nothing to do
with us.
That has nothing to do with us.
There was a man standing by the dumpster laughing hysterically at it.
Is that your head chef, Josh?
That is Josh. Yes, our head chef, Josh.
Bob.
Yes, sir.
Can you add this to the specials board?
Yes, sir.
We just got a dog who died from eating ketchup.
Oh, no.
A dog that
does sound good because it'll be filled with stomachally filled with ketchup.
Excellent.
It sounds like it's pre-marinated.
Yeah, pretty tasty dog.
It does sound good, but a dog should not be allowed to
plus, we don't want to eat dog. I feel like that's crossing a line.
That's up to you guys. That's
do you have any dogs that have eaten like a bunch of chocolates?
Right. Because
that's usually an accident. They get into
jumping
the cabinet.
To dessert? You want dessert already? Is that what you're...
Well, it seems like a meat and dessert, but sure.
Yeah, we do have a very long dessert menu with... also, animals that have been in accidents.
Oh, I see. Oh, you have a lot of dogs killed by chocolate on your dessert menu.
Yeah, we have dogs killed by chocolate. We've got cats killed by chocolate.
I've never heard of a cat.
I don't think they're allergic.
You guys are force feeding cats chocolate.
You're killing
chocolate
these animals.
Fall on this cat. Yeah. How did it die of chocolate?
Bob, I've got good news.
Okay, great. Hold on.
We just got an emu decapitated by a ceiling fan.
Whoa!
Wow, this has never happened
fresh.
Before.
That does sound fresh. That's a strong ceiling fan.
I'm going to go in the back because we have
our
chef.
That's an industrial ceiling fan.
Because I can stop those usually with my hand. I've stopped one.
You're supposed to be able to stop.
They're not.
Actually,
emu
had a very weak neck.
Sever it.
Okay. Completely sever it.
I will immediately go. I'll get Chef Josh from the back where he's screaming at that whale in the dumpster, and I'll have him come and start preparing the emu immediately.
Let's talk some more about that. Featuring John Gabris, John Gamberling, and Horatio Sands.
Here's a movie theater hack I used to do in New York. Someone taught me. You know when they would at the theaters that you couldn't sneak food into because they would check your bag or whatever? Because if you put like bananas, just like a bunch of bananas on the top, like or something that looks like groceries, like a roll of toilet paper, because then they'll be like, you can't bring food in here. I'd be like, oh, it's not food. It's my groceries. So if you have like, you know,
that's
a bag.
How I planned my day. I'd go to the grocery store with a backpack and then go to a movie.
Right. And then, well, then they're like,
can I have 90 pounds of bananas?
They can't make you throw out your family's food. But then underneath, you got a couple of heroes and a couple of tall boys.
These bananas sure smell fresh.
Just give me more. I'm not going to eat them. I'm just going to the movies.
So we cut to these guys with Junior Mints and fucking Sour Patch Kids and some fucking popcorn that they made themselves and put some really nice butter on.
We're not going to be able to just like sneak this in, though. Like straight up in a backpack.
Dude, what's my tattoo say? Put some bananas on it. It's my catchphrase. When I used to make play 3-on-3 hoop it up style basketball tournaments.
My cousin was at Arclight 3 weeks ago, and they say word is out on the banana scam.
What? It has a name?
Yeah. That's cool. They're looking for top loads, banana top loads.
Shit. We need to revolutionize. We need something new. Has anyone thought about apples?
I wish it could be that simple. Apples or just whatever.
Hey, assholes, welcome to the movies. What you got in the bag?
Nothing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We were just...
Okay, so here's the story. My father was cremated earlier today. And I had to pick up the cremains.
At the morgue.
So here, if you just look in the bag.
And they didn't have enough room in one urn. Yeah. So they gave you an extra box.
Yeah. So here's a box with my father's ashes in it. In my bag. That's what's in my bag right there. And
that's
nothing
all
else.
It is.
That's
and
it.
And we didn't want to put it in the trunk. Someone might steal it. And we didn't want to take it home before the movie because we wanted
you
to see.
You picked up your father's ashes
And
then came to see Straight. From Justin to Kelly 2.
Yes. Well, I'm reeling. I'm spiraling emotionally. I just need 2 hours to shut my brain off and see talented actors
and
doing their thing.
My 7-year-old niece wrote it. So.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, I didn't tell you.
No, I was wondering why you pushed this movie so hard on us. I was just like. Oh, your niece is a scam.
Anyway,
writer.
So we just were at the morgue picking up cremations. That's what they're called.
All right.
Cremains. Got it.
Cremains.
So we'll see you after the movie.
See you after the movie.
All right.
Yes.
30 minutes into the movie. Hey, I saw some guys really chowing down there in aisle D. Did you check everyone's bags on the way in?
Yeah, I checked. There was this couple of kids with their dad's ashes in a backpack.
Cremains?
That's what he said, yeah.
Yeah, I got a warning. I got a bulletin on that.
I got a guy who had like 50 bananas.
Yeah? Yeah? They're still running the banana top-load scheme?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're way
past that. And then I just I went through each and every banana, and then I got to the end. You know what he had?
What?
Banana cake.
That's
still can't bring that in.
Fucking animals.
Idiots, man.
I mean, I knew these guys were juking me, you know? I knew they were juking
all right,
me.
You gotta go in there, man.
I didn't know how to block. How do you block a. How do you get past the ashes?
Well, right now they're chowing down, so you just go in there and catch them red handed. What are they gonna say?
All right.
But don't disturb anybody else.
Hoorah! Hoorah!
We see this guy walking into the Arclight movie theater with night vision goggles on. He's got like full tactical gear.
Go pass me some of the beef jerky.
Hey, sit down!
Sorry, here, man, have some of this beef jerky.
I work here.
This is beef jerky.
Security.
We can't keep this up. It was so sad that we cremated our dad today.
There's no more beef underneath there?
No, I can't find any more beef.
Oh my God. They're just eating the ashes.
There's beef juice on the ashes. Yeah, yeah,
I spilled. I think so. I'm putting it on my gums.
Do they have food? Have they been eating ashes this whole time?
Sir, please be quiet. We're watching.
Sorry.
From Justin to Kelly, too.
Sorry. Just
shh. We cut to in
Kelly.
The movie. What?
What? You know what?
What? I thought I said goodbye to you forever.
Yeah, but then you saw me in the bus.
I know, but we just happened to be on a bus together. There's no reason for us to have a relationship again. We just happened to be on the same bus.
Smoky room.
Stop singing.
Bad news. Sorry, announcement from bus driver. Bad news. We're going to be stuck in this hotel, and it looks like we're randomly pairing some of the bus passengers from the tour to have... various honeymoon suites, because that's all this hotel has. So let me just read off your names.
What?
Wait, we have to hook up with these people?
You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything.
Son, oh, shit.
I can't pair you guys by gender, so I'm just going to pick any two names. And if you guys fall in love, you fall in love.
You definitely have to pair us by gender. If we don't know each other.
It's 2019. I'm not going to tell people who they can and can't stay with.
Oh, please. All right. Pick someone who can 69 me.
All right.
I will not be with him for one. This is ridiculous.
You're staying overnight because of traffic?
Well, and there's also something wrong with the bus. All right, I'm going to be reading off the manifest. Who's staying with who?
Get me one with the bad smeller.
All right. Justin and Kelly.
What are the last names? Kelly what?
Justin Guarino and Kelly Clarkson.
Read it again. Are you sure?
I'm positive. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce both of them.
God. First on the list.
All right, Sid and Nancy.
We cut to later as they enter the hotel room. Did you arrange this, Justin? It's just too many happenstances that we
are you guys room 412? There's a barrel of lube that I was supposed to deliver to room 412. Is this you guys?
What kind of lube? For a car?
Nope.
For what? A barrel?
The TV turns on. Ah, Justin, Kelly, I see you received my lube. Welcome.
What is happening? Who are you?
It doesn't matter what my name is, but I sabotaged your bus. Everything that's happened is by my design.
I knew it. There's too many coincidences. What are you doing to us? Why?
So that you'll fuck each other.
People don't want us to have sex. They want us to have innocent love together.
It's not true. It's a lie. They all just want to see you fuck. Stop teasing everyone. I was a small child when From Justin to Kelly 1 came out. And I really thought you guys were going to fuck by the end. And I was getting really turned on and it never happened. It was the biggest cock tease of my life. And I shall watch you fuck.
You bankrolled this movie?
What? We're in a movie? That wasn't my layer of reality.
Sorry, I'm in the closet shooting this. I was told
to get on this bus. I was being driven to Trader a movie.
Joe's. It's all a Trader Joe's within Trader Joe's.
You guys got to try the peanut butter cups.
Did you know about this, Justin? Seriously.
I didn't know. If I would have known, I would definitely not been a part of it.
Really? Because I did at one point during... When we met the first time, I did love you. During one, I trusted you then. And I know I lost track of you when I got famous. And you kind of went off the rails.
I sent you dick pics all the time.
What, excuse me?
I sent you dick pics all the time.
I started blocking that.
Yes, now we're getting somewhere.
No respondo.
Well, you seemed a little desperate. And I know you did the one Broadway show and then... Dinner theater, and then I guess nothing.
Did Rock of Ages for
the Chris Hardwick role. You understudy Chris Hardwick role
in the real life.
What's that mean?
The real life version of the Chris Hardwick show.
You did
we
that.
Cut to a 2020 puff piece. So, Dr. Schimler, you're the world's preeminent neurosurgeon and a billionaire.
Thank you.
What do you do?
Very glad to be here.
What do you do with your free time? You seem to be. What do you do? What do you spend your money on? You live such a simple life.
Well, I do a lot of philanthropic work, and I put a lot of resources into engineering an on-camera fuckfest between Justin Guarini and Kelly Clarkson.
Wow. You're not kidding, are you?
No.
Wow, that's very specific and I'm assuming time intensive and expensive?
Yes, it's taken all of my energies these past few years. We reached the final stage of
the
operation.
And we see this like parody porn film is being played on a phone of the real Justin Guarini in the green room of American Idol, which I think is now on ABC.
And Kelly Clarkson has been convinced to come back. And it's taken a lot of convincing. It's on another network. None of the original judges are there. And this is the first time she's seen Justin Guarini. Oh, yeah. I guess there's a lot of parody films out there. I don't really pay much attention to them, Justin. But how have you been doing?
There's some good ones out there.
What do you mean?
That there are some good ones, parody films out there.
Well, I don't watch parody porn films or any porn films, Justin, anyway. So are you married?
No.
Did you ever get married?
No, you know me. I need to keep on moving on.
Right. And are you still singing?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I have a gift. Why would I not, you know, enjoy that?
Okay. Justin, I have an acai berry with a fiber booster for Justin.
I'll deliver it to Justin. Thanks, boss. I got to go take this to this guy called Justin, but I'll be right back. Yeah, you want a drink? You're Justin, right? Yeah, me too. Right. Anyway. Yeah, you're doing good, huh? A couple number ones?
Oh, yeah. You know. So it's weird being back on American Idol, huh?
Brings back some memories, if that's what you're asking.
That wasn't. I know we had our brief moment a couple of weeks there.
We had some magic. We shared magic together.
I got a large watermelon with a protein booster for Kelly.
Oh, thank you.
Here you go.
Do I have to take it to her?
If you would, please.
You didn't have to do that.
I know. It's my job, though.
Oh, I assumed you were on the reunion with me.
No, I'm a busboy here.
Oh, I didn't see you in the call sheet, and I was confused.
Is catering all the food. I'm a busboy here.
Oh, now it makes sense to me. I assumed you were on the show with me today. Okay. Well, it's good to see you.
You still do that thing with your pubes?
Can you not?
I'm sorry, was that too sexual?
Yeah, I mean, also there's people in the room.
They know we dated.
And we cut back to those years. What year was that? Who cares?
1969.
We cut to the podcast awards. And the winner.
What the fuck is going on? Featuring Andy Daly, Don Finelli, and Laura Wilcox.
All right, folks, I got some other things I wanted to talk about today. Using computers to write movie scripts. Have you guys heard about this?
No.
Is that really happening?
Can you believe that?
I did hear something. Remember, every once in a while, something will make the rounds, like piece of software wrote a sitcom pilot or something like that. But it's incomprehensible.
Right.
Are these actually good? Because that would suck.
According to this article, it wasn't a cynical article at all. It was almost like, this is a tool. The Entertainment Technology Center last year, it sounded like something from a Big Brother movie, presented analysis showing correlations between a movie's story structure and how well it performs worldwide in the box office. So they'll get the computer to analyze a script to give notes, basically.
Oh, my God.
The computer is going to give notes?
They give notes?
Yeah.
I think that's probably an improvement over the current system.
Rather that computer than a Brown graduate?
Yeah, it's less subjective.
All right.
You know?
The software was able to accurately predict movies that Logan viewers had seen in the past, showing an overlap in audiences. So basically it's like, this audience liked it when, I can't remember the Logan plot, but when a girl is in trouble and a guy who's about to kill himself helps her, you know, or whatever the plot was.
It just feels like this is, but like an ad bot. Like this is what, isn't this what like advertisement
bots do is like figure out like what
you're
hitting.
If you like this, you might also like this. It's like on Amazon.
I think this article even says this is where that started in make writing ads.
Yeah.
Oddly enough. Interesting. Oh, and then I have this other fucking article on a very similar thing. This in-store cameras. These cameras, when you walk up to a cooler door at a store, right now they have them in Chicago. It's like a Minority Report or a Blade Runner. So it knows your personality when you come up to
no.
it.
No.
And
what?
It will,
it'll
suggest foods up on the display based on your no. former purchases.
No.
I don't like that. That's
why not?
No, I don't like that.
Are there people out there who are not horrified and disgusted and infuriated
like, who
by
wants
that?
That? Does someone want
right?
that?
Yeah. I guess there must be people like that. Like years ago, I heard some tech guy saying like, the reason people don't like being advertised to is because they're seeing ads for products they're not interested in. Like I haven't had children in my house for 20 years. I don't want to see an ad for diapers,
right.
but I am interested in nutritional supplements. So you show me ads for nutritional supplements and I'll be interested. So therefore, please collect all the information you can on me and right. give me ads that meet my interest. But that is bullshit.
Yeah.
It is.
Nobody wants that.
No.
It's creepy. Plus the advertising can't function if the way it functions is it's only telling you about things that it already knows you want.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You have to advertise things to me that I don't know I want yet.
Right.
Yes.
Hold on, though. That is what these are doing. And I was going to say, when I buy something on iTunes and it says, if you like this, you might like that. That works for me sometimes. But in this food thing, it's not going to give you the food you've already bought. It's going to say, if you like Amy's Bowl, all vegetarian, may you like the new Amy's Bowl, Mexican style or whatever, right? So it is introducing you to new things.
Yeah.
I still don't like it.
Can't you just see that?
Can't I just look in a freezer?
Open the goddamn
and
freezer up and look at them?
What I don't like is what if I walk to that freezer door and it just shows a bunch of ice creams I shouldn't be eating yeah. and it embarrasses me.
Yeah.
You know what, though?
It just says no.
So you don't walk up to the ice cream aisle.
This is the future, and people are going to get used to it because, like, here's a for instance, my dog just ate our remote control today.
What?
He yeah. just ate
this
it?
This is like the
swallowed?
Fifth one. No, just demolished it.
Oh, okay.
And so I had a thought of like, well, now I need to get a new remote control, and I'm going to log on to like Amazon, and I'm going to yeah. search for the TV yeah. for which this requires a remote control. That's going to take a few steps. I didn't do it right away because it's going to take a few steps. I'm probably going right. to do it tonight. If I remember, I might forget. I might do it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But the future is, the dog destroys your remote control. You say, oh, shit, I need a new remote control. And it fucking arrives at your house.
You
know
say it
mean?
Out loud?
You don't even, because Alexa
yeah,
just knows.
Yeah, because Alexa just knows. She knows what the TV is. Yeah. She knows, mm-hmm. So your need.
She's learned the sound of your dog munching on that.
Yeah. So this intuitive. Little bit of effort that right now doesn't seems like a pain in the neck, mm-hmm. but not terrible. But by the time this kind of thing starts happening, somebody is going to hear like, oh, you need a thing. You have to go on a computer. You have to look up what thing you need it is. You have to ask for it. You have to wait. That's going to seem like an intolerable amount of effort.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Within like 5 years. Right. That's going to seem like who would go through all that work?
Mm. Oh, my God.
Because things get easier for you, and you expect things to just keep getting easier for
Excuse
you.
Excuse me. I was just on aisle 3. With the canned soups, and it, yes. there's a problem.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. What's the problem?
I wanted chicken soup, and uh-huh. it didn't get in my cart.
Oh, did you?
I looked at it.
Oh, okay. So there is chicken soup.
At
down there.
It.
Okay, good. We have chicken soup.
I looked at it like 3 times. I'm like, all right, what's going on here?
Oh, I see.
I made sure there was nothing else in front of it. Like I was yes. like, does it think I'm looking at the tomato soup?
Right.
So I moved the tomato soup way out of the way. So I was just looking right at the chicken soup. Yeah. I'm serious.
No, I know.
I sat there for a minute and nothing happened.
This has been happening a lot ever since they've been doing the renovations on the iGrocery store. You usually shop down there? Is that usually where you shop?
But
our store is different from that. We
you're one of the old school ones?
We have a sort of a more old school approach, which is that you come in and you maybe you have a shopping list or you know right? Or,
on paper?
On paper, or even just in your mind.
Paper.
Oh, right. Okay. And you
on my phone.
Is on your phone.
That's excuse fine. Me?
The list on the memo.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yes, no, that's fine.
How do you get the milk in my stomach?
How do you get the milk in your stomach?
Yeah, the milk's not going in my stomach. I've been looking at it. I've been asking it to do it. Yeah. I'm like getting my stomach.
Did you find the dairy aisle?
I think so. I'm pretty sure it was milk.
Hey, okay. Man, I'm having this. This is one of those old places.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, I think you guys should have a new, you shouldn't call yourself grocery stores. Because grocery store implies you're going to get food there, not have to come here and work for it.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
You should call yourself a farm or something.
Yeah. A farm is very different. A farm, you know, and at a farm, you would be raising the chicken and slaughtering the chicken. And
that's easy. And, yeah. You just look.
That's a lot of steps.
Just look at like a knife.
Mm hmm.
I don't see what's so hard about anything you just said.
That's definitely harder than
you
what
go, Alexa, slaughter. And then, you know, something should happen.
Yeah, right? Word search.
Word search it.
S-L-A-U. That's right. Going to pop in slaughter right away.
Alexa slaughter.
Okay, well, so how this works is, that, for instance, if you want that chicken soup, you're going to have to reach up. You're going to have to use your, you know, use your thumb. And
you
your,
fucking do it, man.
Well, I can't.
Why don't
possibly
I get your salary, too, while I'm at it? And your health insurance you get for working here.
Your hand looks familiar, man.
Oh, thank you. I get that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that hand before.
Yeah. Which hand are you talking about, though?
I'm talking about that left hand.
Yeah. Yeah. So that soap commercials, you know, the left hand. You might know the right hand from Adam's Family movies.
Wow.
And the left hand from really a lot of commercials.
Holy
at this point.
Shit.
Yeah.
Ha, fuck you. It's my time.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
I'm old school. You still know me from Adam's Family from 28 years ago.
We cut to later in the day. This man's in charge of cutting up the cheese and little pepperonis and making more hors d'oeuvres to hand out. And these famous hands hate doing this old grunt work.
Look at you. You're cutting the cheese, bitch.
Eat my dick.
You're cutting the cheese.
Listen, this is, we got to work together here. We got to get the fuck out of here. What? He blew through all that money, and now he's a manager at a goddamn grocery store.
You wanna leave the human?
I wanna get the fuck. Take that knife, cut me off.
And sure enough,
are you sure about this?
They plot to do this, and one hand cuts off the other hand.
Oh no! No! No!
And then the free hand grabs, just like this great move that Arya does. Drops the knife from one hand to the other and cuts off the other hand. Now they're both free running around the grocery store.
Luke, where's the soap aisle?
The hands run around to the soap aisle where they see this millennial looking at some Dove soap, and it's not popping into his cart.
What the fuck, man? Stare, stare, stare.
One of the hands jumps up, grabs the a pile of Dove soap and throws it into his cart.
Yeah, you fucking idiot.
Finally.
Oh, God, we're bleeding bad.
Wait, I've just discovered my new passion.
What?
Picking things up and putting them down.
Wow.
Giving them to people.
But, like, on our own terms.
That's right.
We cut to the park, Washington Square Park, where people sometimes gather to watch people play chess. And we see a larger group than usual gathered around one chess table. And as the camera moves in, we see that it's two hands, two bloody, decapitated hands playing each other in chess.
A knight to bishop two. God, I can't believe we're alive.
Things are getting blurry through my little finger eyes. Pawn to...
What if we just put our kings down at the same time and call checkmate on both our lives?
It's been an honor.
And a privilege.
Serving beside you.
I fucking hated you for so long.
I really fucking hated you.
But now I respect you.
And then Dire Straits, Brother in Arms, and now it's Brother in Hands, plays. It's a long song, too. It's like an 8-minute song. It plays as they slowly die in the park as
one last
it starts
shake.
To snow.
One last shake in this snow, leaf fall.
There should be more trees in this park!
What the fuck is going on? featuring Will Hines, Lennon Parham, and Katie Dippold.
Humans, I've been wanting to talk about this house for a while. There's this house. Can we look this house up? Maybe we can find it on Google Maps. It's in Hawthorne.
Oh, yeah. This is near San Francisco.
Or Hillsborough, California.
Right. This is a Northern California situation.
Right, I think. Near where I grew up.
No
I
way. 45 Berry S away. Berryessa. You what? Tell us about this, Brett.
So, yeah, my whole life, we always drove by on Highway 280. Mm-hmm. You see the Flintstone house, and it used to be white. No one really knew much about it, but it was always there.
What made it a Flintstone house?
Because it's all round, plain, white. How do you describe it? It's
like the stone houses that the Flintstones lived in?
Yeah, it looks like it's made out of stone.
Like a stone adobe.
It looks like a shoe.
Stone. And it's right on this hillside, so you drive right by it.
It's very noticeable.
Can't miss it. It's very noticeable.
And were these dinosaurs and, dinosaurs, giraffe, were they there when you were growing up?
No. It was just a white, plain,
it used to
adobe.
Just be the architecture of the house.
Yeah.
And even though it was plain white, the architecture was so sort of like space age caveman.
Yeah, just so wild. Everyone called it Flintstone House, but you never really knew much about it. It was a private
Just everybody independently
home.
Agreed that it should be called the Flintstones House?
Yeah, it was just like a local lore.
Well, now it has a Fred Flintstone statue too, but I think this woman who owns it put that there. But now all her neighbors are up in arms. They say they want her to – it's an eyesore.
It's available now for Airbnb or something.
But now,
and they've dressed it up more and they're putting stuff on the lawn.
The photo that in the article that Besser's holding, the house looks very colorful. Like, have they changed it recently?
Yeah, they painted it a sort of like clay color.
Okay.
To sort something of bring, in me like doesn't like any change to it. I just want it to stay to, the old.
So they brought out the Flintstone-ness even more and they're do you think the protest is like it. We liked how weird it was on its own. We don't like that you're making it more weird on purpose.
This is what a neighbor said. Of the property. It appeared to be outside the norms for the town and creates a lot of questions. What does that even mean?
She purchased the property for $2.8 million in 2017 and soon after began redesigning the backyard with brightly colored mushrooms, a band of 15-foot dinosaurs. These are metal sculptures, a giraffe, a mastodon, and a sign reading Yabba Dabba Doo.
What's your feeling on this, Lennon?
Go for it.
I say go for
it's
it, right?
It's on your property, man.
You and everybody's already calling it
$3 million for
yes.
it?
Yes.
But let's go to the extreme on this. I think I've told this story on this podcast where my dad had art in his front yard that his neighborhood complained about. So it wasn't this much. But I'm curious about that. Where do we draw the line? Because in other words, what would you not accept from a neighbor? Because once you accept this...
I think the only thing personally that would bother me if it'd be something weird for kids, if there was like explicit sexual imagery that would be like weird to have to explain to somebody's kids, I'd
or
be
violence.
Like that you have to take down or gory violence. If it was like some sort of mural of like some really garish.
Well, my dad's art was cowboys kissing.
Oh, there we go. So
is their conservative viewpoint.
That's annoying. That wouldn't bother me, but like. More sexually explicit stuff, regardless of gender, would. And I'm just thinking of my nephew, and if he was like walking around, he had to like, I wouldn't want him to have a bad experience.
But also,
anything other than that, I wouldn't care. Like, it could be like cars in the front lawn rusting. It could be.
But if you're living next to this house, right. You'd be like, oh Jesus, like, what a bummer! Like every day driving past it in your morning, like I think you know she should be able to do whatever she wants and all that. But I feel for the neighbor. Like that's your first thing you look at every morning is this giant Fred Flintstone. Like,
yeah.
How long has it been there? I mean,
since the
70s. You know what I mean? But did you move in before that? Like, and well, then they built it next to you?
Because
if you bought the house next to this house after
it
looked like that, then fuck you, right?
But I don't think that's true. I think like it used to be this weird space age architecture, but it was white.
Yeah.
And they moved in and then they added all the mushroom. Yeah, but maybe they're okay with that level of weirdness. I mean, it would be like moving next to the Griffith Observatory.
Yes. Can we Google map it so we see how close their neighbors are?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it looks like a yellow submarine.
Look at their yard. It looks fucking beautiful around there.
It also looks like it was once just a weird house is now someone, you know, making it an Airbnb thing of like, come to this weird spectacle.
That's true.
There's new people there every night, you know. That's tougher because that's about safety.
Well, that's just Airbnb in general, though.
I think anything that might cause a parent to have a conversation with their child before they were planning on having that conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But what I'm nothing here is doing what I was fearing.
Oh, it's funny. Now that you see it on Google Maps, it looks like a regular neighborhood. Like the other houses are right next to it.
But all the stuff is in the back.
Oh, I see.
True. Yeah, the stuff in the back.
You can't see it from the street.
Oh, well, there might be a couple things.
But there's like the animals are in the front yard.
Looks so funny.
Is that the street? That's not even the street, though.
What do you mean?
I mean, that's the front of the driveway.
Oh, they even had Yabba Dabba written in the
yard. Maybe they should talk to the, you know, Department of Transportation about fixing those fucking streets.
I think there's also an element of get over yourself that I would feel if I was the neighbors. Like back down a little, pal. It's like a guy who walks around wearing.
Don't go for it.
Somebody who wears a bird on their shoulder and they can't wait for you to ask about the bird. You know?
It's like, oh, that's the way you feel?
I think there's an element of that. Just like, oh, you think you're so special, your stupid Flintstone house. I don't know.
Really? I feel like everyone has the most boring houses look the same. If someone wants to go for it and it be interesting, why not?
I feel like this is one of those things that I would be mad on either side. Like, I'm just mad. No matter what position you put me in, I'm angry about it.
There's an on-the-nose aspect of it that's kind of a bummer.
What would your theme house be, Katie?
I would probably be cat-related, honestly.
For real? Not,
like a murder house?
Oh, you're right. It would probably be a murder house. Yeah.
Ding dong.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. My name's Matt. I live a couple of doors down. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Oh, right. You're the white house with those weird green shutters.
Oh, okay. You find my house weird. That's interesting.
It used to be blue, and now it's like a dark green.
Right. I had some questions about your house.
Yeah.
And what you're calling the murder house we see outside.
Oh, my house.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm going to talk about your house. Yeah. You can climb over the police line. You can just step over it.
Yeah, that's cute. I didn't think it was real. But before we get, are you have problems with my shutters being green?
I always liked the blue, but you know, it's your house.
I always liked the white paint you had and not the fake blood streaming from the windows that you have out there now. What's that about?
Yeah, it's supposed to look like blood is coming out of the windows. So it's
a
brick red color. That I got from the Benjamin Moore line.
We just
painted it in a way so it's, you know, so like, you know how when you painted your shutters, you painted it up and down, but with ours, we just painted it to look like it was
blood streaming, right? It's not the how as much as, you know, I have kids. I got a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, and what am I going to tell them is up with the bleeding house down the street that's called the murder house? Just you know, sit in my shoes for a second.
Oh, you know what, I'll be honest, I am comfortable, thank you for asking, and I'm really comfortable with you telling them whatever you want. I won't have a problem with whatever you decide is best to tell them is fine by me.
No, I'm saying I'm struggling with what to tell them because it's disturbing. I'm really saying, can you not have your house painted like that? And if it means me making my green shutters blue again, I'll do that as a compromise.
Wow.
And the fake dead person in your driveway.
Okay, that's a hired actor. And so obviously
I thought it was a mannequin.
Yeah. So good job, Will.
Thanks, man. Katie, I gotta go. I have an audition today. I gotta get out of here for an hour.
Oh, okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
I'll be back.
Come back.
Huh?
Because neighbors don't like seeing dead people. That's not fun. Are you trying to get on one of those tours?
Who are you, sir?
I live up the street.
Green shutters.
I'm not telling you, creep.
Whoa, I can tell. I know which one.
Yeah.
The freak house.
Mm-hmm.
The freaking dark green shutters and the, what is it, a bush? In the front lawn? What is that, a bush?
I guess you could call
okay,
it that.
Okay, I think you got my crazy point. Hedge. You're disturbing the neighborhood. I'm the only one brave enough to come up here because people think that you're some kind of psychopath.
Can I just say, I've kept it very cool on the outside. If you've been inside, you will see that I had restraint. Like, I've kept it very minimal. Inside is fucking crazy. And I've really kept that to the inside.
I don't even want to ask. Are you recreating murder scenes in your house? What is wrong with you? Have you ever thought about that? Why do you revel in murder so much?
Katie?
Yeah?
My audition got canceled. I'm good to stay here.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, just FYI.
Sure. So, well, the noose is inside if you just...
Oh. That's also what doesn't make sense. A dead guy in a driveway with a noose around his neck.
Well...
what's he hanging from?
I mean, these are questions you could ask the original owner of the house.
The story I tell myself is that I was murdered in a standoff, but then because of sins in my life, my ghostly form has a noose around its neck so that no I walk that. The earth forever as a hung man.
Oh, Jesus.
Beverly, this is not a tour, Beverly. This is just a neighbor complaining.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Sorry for the scream.
If you want to take the tour, you can, but... Yes.
People live in this neighborhood.
I mean, most people are at work. Are you unemployed or something?
Yeah.
That's not cool. I'm a writer.
Yeah, right.
We all are writers.
Yeah. Me too, buddy.
Yeah. I'm
a novelist.
I'm a movie star.
Yeah.
Let's talk some more about that. Featuring Dan Lippert, John Gamberling, and Jess McKenna.
Dan, my daughter, she complimented you on how you're taller than me.
Yes.
It's one of the greatest compliments she can give anyone.
It was very kind of her to do. And this was after already showing off her trophy for
baseball
T-ball
trophy.
And
yeah.
gymnastics.
Ballet recital.
Ballet, that's what it was. So the trophy,
I'm sorry, this is why I got the flower. This is,
you're a better listener. Well, the trophy was a man standing with his arms by his side.
It was an Oscar.
It's an Oscar.
It was an Oscar.
It's an Oscar.
A man
standing.
I ain't just a man.
That was awesome. Oh, I'm sorry. I've
that
never
was Oscar
seen
friend.
One. Not as successful as everyone else here.
Everyone else
not
at
so
this table.
To watch the Oscars. Yeah. It's not. It's a weird life being tall like Dan and I, and a lot of people don't even know.
You and Dan aren't in the same league, tall wise.
Well, we do a big brother program. It's for big brothers. There's a lot of big brothers that have these kids who are taller than them, and then it becomes awkward when you go out with a big brother and you're bigger than your big brother, and it upsets the kids. They're like, I thought I was getting a big brother, but I'm bigger than my big brother. So now they have a big brother program that like Dan and I do. I'm one of the shorter big brothers actually.
Yeah.
But we get really tall kids in there.
Mm-hmm. And so then they go to whatever event you'd go with your sibling, but with us instead. So everyone's like, oh, that's the right height discrepancy between these
right.
two. Right.
Otherwise, it's awkward to have a little big brother. And that's where I met Dan even before he was doing improv. And I met him through that.
Yeah. And then we got to talking about our height. And then
if you're in the big brother program, you're not just hanging out with the kids you're mentoring. You're hanging out with the other big brothers and their kids.
We go to summer events.
You guys
they like us to stand in the same area too, where we block people.
You kind of just like tag in when it's time for the photo or something, just so the kid feels less self-conscious.
Yeah.
So not the same investment level of like understanding what's happening in the kid's life or anything like that.
It's more being bigger than than the little brother,
sure.
than knowing about him and keeping up with his life, because that takes a lot of time.
Sometimes you want to feel small, you know? That's a thing in dating, too. Sometimes people want to feel small.
Oh, man, I wish that
Are you suggesting
me.
That the big brothers are dating the big little brothers?
Oh, my gosh, I never would.
Yeah, I don't know. That got creepy for a second. I'm just there to be big for these kids.
Yeah, it's nice because I never had a shorter brother of my own. So I get to have that fulfilled for me also.
Oh, that's sad. You never were able to look down
No, no.
Wait, do you have siblings?
I have an older brother.
And he's taller?
No, he's shorter than me. But he... he feels bigger. Just emotionally, I guess.
Hey, Dan, can I talk to you?
Yeah, what's up, Ben?
I don't feel good.
What's up?
I don't feel good about the way you talk about me, man.
Why? What did I say?
I feel like you're fixating on that I needed to be bigger than you, or I'm not the brother that you wanted, but, like, I'm the only brother you got.
No, it's not that. It's just... Remember when you
Will you reach that for me? Will you get that off the shelf?
Really?
What? You're closer.
I know. It's
and
just...
And taller.
Oh, what? Are you boys bickering in here? Oh,
Mom.
Don't bicker. It's been... When was the last time the both Lippert boys were under the same roof?
Four weeks ago.
1 month ago.
Oh, it's not enough.
It's not enough for Mom.
We're not bickering. It's just, you know,
we're discussing.
When Ben taught me how to drive...
You're welcome. You freaking use a car all the time. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. But, you know, you trained me to always have to move the seat back. It's like every time I had to move the seat back because it was so close when you were in the front seat.
Okay, and now I imagine that helps you in your big Hollywood life, parking valet all the time. They're moving the seats, and you know how to move it right back.
Oh, I wish they wouldn't move those seats, those valets. I think that's part of the job, right?
Me too,
that's what you're going to do. You don't mess with the console.
This is true.
Me too, but I always feel wild about thinking about complaining. Feels
we cut
like
to
it's
a
not
valet
worth it.
Returning a car to Dan. There you go. I moved your seat back.
Oh, thank you. Do you? Sorry, you're really holding your hand out real close to me.
It's just most cars we valet, we don't have to do such a big adjustment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it's kind of dangerous if you jump in a car with a guy like you and you think you can reach the pedal, and then you push the gas. Also, you can't reach the brake. And
right.
You're wrecking it next
time. But it feels like you just move the seat, and then you just put
it. Then you got to move it back.
Right.
Then you got to move it
back. Yeah, thanks so much.
And sometimes pennies will slip down in there, or a french fry, or just a hairball. Gets the seat track off.
Oh, I hope.
But it was okay. It was okay.
Were you all right? Nothing bad happened?
No, it was okay. It took like 5 to 10 minutes.
5 to 10 minutes to move the seat back.
Well, you don't have to do it, but yeah, don't worry about it, buddy. If you don't get a tip, that's all right.
No, here's a couple bucks. Here's thanks so much.
Oh.
Honestly, I didn't even. I saw you park the car, and this isn't like a valet situation where you did a lot of work. You pulled it right up to the end of the street right there.
Yeah,
it's like 20 feet. I could have.
Oh, that wasn't the work. It was mostly the seat jiggering.
Okay.
No big deal.
Okay.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, this radio is loud. Oh, my God. What did you do? You turned it way up.
We cut to his bedroom, and he's bringing a woman who's, to him, short, but really to most humans, very average, back to his bedroom, and she sees, like... She's never seen a bed this long.
Yeah, so this is called, it's called a Florida King. It extends to kind of both ends of the room. And maybe I'll put some music on and light some candles. What do you think?
This is wild. I feel like if I sat down here and you sat at the head, we'd be at like one of those long dining room tables.
We would, yeah. Yeah, it's there's a cut scene from Batman where that happens, actually.
Which one?
The Michael Keaton one.
Which one?
The first Michael Keaton one. The first Batman with Joe.
We see that the bed is so big that waves like gravitational pull is making waves on the sheets.
It turns out that the bed is constantly expanding.
Your bed is like the universe?
All directions. Yeah, if you took a sheet and you put a basketball on it, it's kind of what's happening with my bed, but so is my body.
Wait a second. Are you telling me you're already hard?
Well...
Is that what are you being coy? Like you're, I get it.
No. I wouldn't be that crude. No. I
didn't get the basketball part, but it felt like that's what you're doing.
No, I mean, while we're on the subject, that's going to take me a while. The blood has to travel quite
ding
a ways.
Dong.
Oh, do you mind if I get that?
No, okay. It's your dang door.
Okay. Hi, hello?
Hello. You may remember me. I'm Jeffries, the butler from the manor house on top of the hill.
Yes, hi, Jeffries.
You were up there last week mm-hmm. asking to borrow some sugar, and we couldn't help but notice our long dining room table is missing from the dining hall.
Really? Well, thanks again for the sugar. I don't know if you want more.
Is everything okay? Is it Michael Keaton? You have to tell me if it's Michael Keaton. I'll come out of here.
It's not. I would tell you if Michael Keaton was at my door. We don't know each other.
I'm about to come out of your room.
I mean, if you want to, you can, but you will be sorely disappointed if you're expecting
Michael Keaton. You have to tell
Michael
me because I don't want to make a bad impression on him.
No,
you have
it's
to
not
tell
Michael
me right
Keaton.
Now.
Trust me. I don't know why Michael Keaton would be in Tucson.
I loved you in Bert. Oh, it's
and
a
indeed, Dan did as his bed. He expanded too, just like the universe does, and eventually he became so big that he had to move to a state with plenty of room, North Dakota. And we cut to the next election, where on CNN pundits are arguing about the electoral vote and how North Dakota now just has one guy living in it because he's too big. And he gets
why should one guy get four senators?
Well, if I could stop you right there, he's getting three electoral votes, two senators. This didn't matter.
The whole state's totally Dan Mandarin.
I know. Well, here's the thing. If we know that Dan, he supplies the ideals of one specific Dan, and without his representation, we wouldn't know how Dan felt.
I'm here on the streets with a young lady who feels like the children are not being represented, their votes. What do you think about this giant man who gets one vote in North Dakota for everyone? What do you think about this giant man?
I have no idea.
Okay. We're going back to you in the studio.
But that's what we all feel like. We have no idea.
I'm sorry. I got to just break in here. Ron, your street interviews have been getting more and more untenable.
Look, there's no one here on the street. I'm standing outside a candy store. Everyone refuses to do an interview with me, except for this little girl who wandered out here.
I'll interview you, mister.
What about, hey, little girl, you? What do you think about one man getting three electoral votes?
Here's what I think. Penny candy doesn't exist anymore. What about that?
All right, back to the studio.
Now, I think that's a travesty, and where our economy has left people behind. Why are there no penny candies anymore?
We cut back to a production meeting. Why are you guys yelling at me on the air? I can't help it that no one walks anymore.
There's no one
on the street to do a street interview.
You can't stop someone on a scooter. You can't say, please slow down the scooter from far away.
You need to run out in front of a Lime scooter.
I want you to use a blowhorn maybe and say, excuse me, slow down, you know?
Nobody's saying it's easy, Ron, but it actually is a good amount of our budget flying you to locations, putting you up, all right? Sending a skeleton crew with you, a broadcast van.
I want to go to the beach. People hang out at the beach. They're just already there laying down. They can't avoid me.
Curtis, can I talk to you? Do you think Ron just wants a vacation? And he's just been like pitching us more and more like, actually, now think about it. He got the pulse of Napa. He wanted to see how people felt at Niagara Falls. Hmm. And now he's like, you know what would be great is if I could see how St. Lucia feels about this.
This could be a
here I am in the sulfur springs of St. Lucia, the natural warm. I've got to say, these springs, they're like natural mud baths. And excuse me, sir, what do you think about the electoral votes in the United States of America and how that really tall man got three electoral votes all to himself?
So glad you asked me. I'm happy to be on camera. Look, penny candies,
we see this guy's
are
new.
Gone. They're gone. And I you used to be able to get a penny candy anywhere you went. And these things
slow
are
fade
goners.
To black and scene.
Please go to ucbtheatre.com to sign up for online sketch, writing, and improv classes to keep the theatre going during the COVID-19 shutdown. And please, humans, stay safe out there. Music by Dragoon. This has been Improv for Humans.